Legislative Finance Committee meeting of December 9th, 2014, to order. First order of business is to recognize those of us at the table. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My aide, Scott Collins, is taking the minutes. We have Councilmember Kilpatrick with us, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Holland, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Weiner, Councilmember Diller, Councilor Reda has just joined us as well. I'd like to move along with the agenda. Councilman Bell has just entered the room. We'd like to move ahead with the approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion approved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the minutes of 11/25/14, November's meeting. Motion and a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The minutes of the previous Finance Committee meeting have been approved. Presentation. Today we have a very important presentation of the FY 2014 CAFR by the external auditors. Are they here and prepared to make that presentation?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want briefly, Paul Wasserbach, County Auditor.
Okay.
We, as you know, my office, through council, engages an independent accounting firm each year to audit the county's financial statements, as well as the pension fund's financial statements, as well as to do the audit of the federal grants the county receives. And earlier this year, we engaged a new firm, Clifton Larson Allen, and this is Bill Early. He's a principal for the firm, and this is Remy Almasur. He's the audit manager, and Bill's going to give a presentation. I put the financial statements in everybody's mailbox on Friday, and then we're going to be passing out a PowerPoint presentation to everybody. But real quick, I just wanted to, my office engages the external auditor, but it's really the finance department for the financial statement and pension fund audit, and community services for the single audit that coordinate everything and make sure the auditors get what they need. So, you know, we've got Mike Makowitz here from the finance department, Linda Reeve from the finance department. They're the main people that coordinate the audit that work for Mike teams. And for community services, we have Sophia Hansen and Rob Rizzo and Karen Keese and Ellie Latham. They help to coordinate the single audit of the federal programs. They do a great job. So, with that, I'll pass it on to Bill.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, please, when you have a seat, state your name for the record and when you begin your presentation.
Hi, I'm Bill Early, principal from Clifton Larson Allen. I have with me
Remy Almasur, audit manager from Clifton Larson Allen.
We have put together a PowerPoint presentation real quick for everyone that we can just kind of flip through. It summarizes our audit process and our results. Rather than going through page by page of the financial statements. We're going to talk about our scope and responsibilities, our overview and approach, the summary of the results, other communication we're required with governance, multi-year comparison, and some accounting standards that are going to impact the county moving forward. Scope of work, as Bob said, we were contracted to audit the June 30th, 2014 county financial statements, as well as the pension financial statements, which are separately issued and are being presented in January to the pension committee. In addition, we audited the single audit, which includes the schedule of federal awards and the certification of the data collection form that goes along with it to the federal clearinghouse. We issued a report on internal controls over financial reporting and compliance. We issued agreed upon procedures for computation of available cash balance, statement of changes in available cash balance and fund balance. We've also issued a letter to council, which is charged with governance, and it goes over the key components of the audit. And then we have our real estate assessment center REAC report filing, which is required by the Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD. The financial statements are management's responsibility. They are responsible for preparation of the financial statements, the selection of the accounting principles, design and implementation of internal controls over financial reporting. As the auditors, we perform an audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, and because the county is a governmental entity, in accordance with generally accepted governmental auditing standards. We issue our opinions and the required reports. They were all issued and have been presented, are being presented for acceptance. We also have issued our letter charge to those with governance, which is the oversight of the audit process, as council is responsible for the actual oversight of the audit. Auditor responsibilities, we are responsible, again, for expressing an opinion on whether financial statements are presented in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles in all material respects. Express an opinion only over financial statements identified in our report. There is other information provided in the comprehensive annual financial report, which we did not audit, which is, in our opinion, labeled as unaudited, and it says we do not opine on that information. We are responsible for performing our audit in accordance with the required auditing standards, and then communicating any significant matters related to the audit, including any information required by laws, regulations, or auditing standards. An audit does not relieve management of its responsibilities to prepare the financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. It includes consideration of internal control as a basis for our audit procedures, but we do not opine on the effectiveness of internal controls. Management is responsible for designing and implementing internal controls over financial reporting and compliance. Our audit also, while we did not note any material weaknesses or significant efficiency in financial reporting, it does not guarantee that internal controls will continue to function in the future. We use an integrated team approach to perform our audit. We have financial statement auditors on site at the county dealing with finance and other respective departments. We also brought in IT specialists from our firm that looked at IT controls. And then we also brought in compliance specialists, which handled the single audit, which is over the grants of the federal awards. We use a risk-based approach. It includes risk assessment standard requirements. It does not always focus on strictly on materiality. If there's an area that's below materiality, but we deem it to be of a significant risk, we would take a look at that. If there's an area that is above our materiality, but we do not deem it to be a significant risk, we may not look at that this year. We tend to change our approach from year to year to get better coverage over all the departments within the county rather than focus on just one each year. Throughout our audit, we had continual communication both with the finance department and with the internal auditor. We issued an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which is a clean opinion. We also issued our report on internal controls or financial reporting, which, again, had no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies noted. Accounting policies implemented this year. The county implemented GASB Statement Number 65, which had no significant impact. And then there was GASB Statement 67, which was adopted for the pension financial statements, which did impact the disclosures that are listed in the pension financials. Significant estimates are those that are common in governments, allowance for uncollectible receivables, use of capital assets, liability and incurred but not reported claims. And we did not note any significant uncorrected or corrected misstatements. For the single audit, we tested three programs this year: CDBG, Community Development Block Grants, Section 8 Housing Vouchers, and Congressional Earmarks. That got 84% of coverage over federal awards. As a result of our testing, we issued our report on compliance with requirements applicable that could have a direct and material effect on each major program and on the internal control of our compliance in accordance with the Federal Circular A133. Again, our opinion on that report was unmodified. We did note one significant deficiency in internal controls that management has made a response to us that we've accepted. It was regarding the housing quality standards enforcement and deficiency follow-up, and that is actually included in the comprehensive annual financial report management's, the finding and management's response. Other communications we're required to make to those charged with governance, we had no disagreements with management. Management was very cooperative during the audit process and very professional. They did not consult with any other accountants on the application of GAAP or GASB standards, and we had no issues that were discussed prior to us being retained as the auditors, with the exception of going through the RFP process as being selected as a new firm. Page 12, we highlighted what we tend to believe is one of the more critical sections for finance to focus on, and that is the expenditures within the general fund. As you can see, over the three-year trend, you've been pretty consistent with the functions that are being, where the money is being spent. The percentages may vary from 1% to 2% per year, but are pretty much consistent over the 3 years. New accounting standards that are coming up that we do want to bring to the council's attention is GASB Statement 68 for pension employers. It is going to change the way in which the liability is calculated for financial statement purposes. In the past, you've only had any annual required contribution that you did not make is what the liability was recorded at. Going forward, the liability will be recorded at what the entire amount of the unfunded liability is. So that will be a significant change and could have an impact on that position going forward. So, statement number 71 just clarifies.
One moment. that last statement that you did make about the new Statement 68 for pensions and employers, that applies to every government.
Correct.
Across the United States.
Correct, yes. It applies to you all in two points. One, you have your own pension plan, so you will have to calculate the liability for that. Two, some of your employees are members of the state plan. The state most likely, when they calculate their liability, will allocate that out to the municipalities that are members of their plan, and that liability will also have to be reported. But it does apply to all governments that are members of a pension plan, whether it's their own or whether they're a member of a state plan or another plan.
Thank you for that clarification.
That's kind of a high-level, quick overview. We're required to meet with those charged with governance to present this information every year. We've also issued a separate letter that will be sent to everyone with the financial statements. So at this point, we'll turn it over for any questions.
Yes, Councilman Smiley and Councilman Wine.
Yeah, I just want to clarify on the record, because I have read the annual financial report that we submitted ahead of time. So let's just clarify on the record. The only thing, we had a clean slate. Other than you had some concerns about internal controls as far as the housing quality standards, and that was responded to by the department to your satisfaction.
Correct.
Okay.
Councilman Wyman.
I see our auditor wanted to be recognized.
Yes.
Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. Councilman Smiley, there were some IT, information technology related comments. They're not material or significant. There's some recommendations for improvements, and I'm working with information technology to get a response to those comments. I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, thank you.
Councilman Wyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Want to thank management for being accommodative. Want to thank the auditing department for bringing in a new consultant. Every few years, it's best practice to do that. And the auditing company that's selected, thank you for doing a comprehensive job in this executive summary. It's very helpful. I just want to drill down on the pension issues. Have you had a chance to present this, or do you plan to present this to our pension trustees, our pension board?
We will be meeting with them in January. We're scheduled to meet with the pension committee.
Very good. And are you aware of, you spoke generally that, of course, it'll impact, as the new GASB standards will impact how we calculate to what degree our pension is funded. Do you have an idea of to what degree our pension will be funded using the new GASB standards?
I believe once we present that to the pension committee, it's in their disclosures is the net pension liability that would be recorded as of now. So it is recorded in their disclosures. Once those statements are issued, that amount would be able to be obtained from that report.
So. Okay. If I may just ask our finance co-chairs, at some point when it's time, if we could get a presentation from our pension board as to the health and vitality of our pension board using the new GASB standards, I think it would be helpful.
Yes.
Great, thank you.
I think it's going to be a big picture item that we've got to
yes.
look at.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Nothing further.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask a question of our auditor. Bob, when you mentioned about the things in IT, some recommendations for improvement in IT, are they technology type recommendations or?
Yes.
Okay. And did those recommendations come from your office directly or from our outside audit firm?
I'll answer, Bob, if you want. We bring in IT specialists. We have actually IT auditors on our team. They came in, they looked at, a lot of them deal with password security, network security, and those type of things. So it was IT people from our firm that have made these best practice recommendations, I'll call them, that we think should be implemented. As Bob mentioned, they were not material enough to be considered a material weakness or significant deficiency, make it into the report, just best practices that we think, we try to implement best practices anywhere we see them. So they were some comments that we're working to get, you know, help the county get implemented.
Yeah. And my point of where I was going with that, if it was technology related as far as improvements in technology in the future, certainly, you know, we have our budget being prepared for this council's review again, and I would hope that, you know, if that was the case, that it would be part of the budget recommendations. But no, that
I would clarify, we have not seen the responses to those, and some of their responses may be that the current system is not capable. So, to your concern, there may be upgrades that are needed to put in those best practices. So that would be something they would respond to.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
This is Tony Gordon, the Chief Administrative Services and oversees procurement as well as IT. We did get your responses, and we're looking into that. What we're looking to do is bring in maybe a consultant to look at to create some best policies. So that's what we're looking at there. We did make a discussion. We haven't gotten back to you guys yet, but we did have discussions in regards to that.
Thank you. Thanks. Any other questions, comments from members of council concerning the FY 2014 CAFR by our external auditors? All right, and I'm sure we'll be perusing this report and reading through. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? All right, we're going to move along on the agenda. Thank you very much. Next, under resolutions, resolution 14-239, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract, increase in the amount of $353,894 for the Wilmington Institute Library, Maine, for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services, which revises the total purchase order amount to $1,002,699.67. Would someone from the Department of Community Services like to talk a little bit about this?
This is just a quarterly request for the drawdown of the contract. Sophia Hansen, General Manager of the Department of Community Services.
The quarterly request for the operation of the Wilmington Institute Library through our Community Services Department. Okay. Any questions, comments from members of council? Yes, Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just a question to the our manager of Community Services would be that Wilmington Institute Library, we'd had some issues in the past, and they addressed those issues. Are they continuing to maintain the requirements of Newcastle County that was set forth and we addressed before? And I guess my question is, are they still maintaining compliance based upon recommendations that this council noted before, and Community Services?
And just for further comment regarding diversity of the board of the management of the
That's correct. I just want to make sure that this is an ongoing process, and that, you know, it doesn't fall by the wayside and they fall into past practices. That if with this kind of money being allotted quarterly, I've just the checks and balances to are they still in compliance and doing their best to work with some of the questions and concerns we had.
They've certainly addressed the issue of racial diversity. I don't know if gender diversity was ever raised as an issue, but that remains a challenge, and that's something that our department has communicated that we'd like to see. They have one female participant. We'd like to see another board member, a female board member, possible.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, comments from members of council on resolution 14-239? Anything from the public? Okay, moving along. Resolution 14-240, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract, increase in the amount of $94,376 for the Wilmington Institute Library North Wilmington branch for funding library operations for Department of Community Services, which revises the total purchase order amount to $267,396.67. Yes. Someone from from Community Services would like to comment.
This mirrors the previous resolution. It's a quarterly request for the contract.
And this, for further clarification, is for the North Wilmington branch, which I believe is on North Market Street.
Yes, and there was a request. They were lumped together previously, and there was a request by City Council or County Council to have them submitted individually.
Okay. Very good. As we all know, library services is a very valued function, and provide great service to our citizenry and the county, and great to see the funding continuing. Resolution 14-241, a resolution prescribing the details and form and providing for the sale of general obligation bonds of Newcastle County. I'd like to throw floors open for our finance department, and I think we have an expert here to help us with this.
Finance. Yes, this resolution here is to describe the details, of course, including the not-to-exceed limits of what we hope to be our upcoming bond sale proposed for January 2015. We're looking to go for about $85 million in new money. That's the limit. I mean, we could be going for less. And also, we have a ceiling in here for refunding of up to possibly $120 million. It could be $90 million, it could be $100 million. Depending on how the numbers come out in the end, obviously there's a savings for the county. It's obviously, we all know, it's still a great time to go for refinancing. The opportunity is there. The rates are still low. I have with me here today Jeff Stewart from Public Financial Management. It's our financial advisory firm. Helping us through the bond sale. So if we have any really good questions, I have Jeff here with TIC questions.
Councilman Smiley.
Just so we're clear on the record, the $121,390,000, the purpose of that would be to retire current bondings that we have at a higher rate to try to reduce our debt obligation.
To refund.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the 85 would be the new money.
Right.
And the refunding of the Councilman John Carty, the refunding or the refinance would realize be between that 90 and 120 million realized. What amount of interest savings do you believe we can project on that refinance?
By interest savings, are you talking the overall interest savings?
Yes.
Or I'll go to my Jeff, if he recalls, I know we had some numbers.
Sure.
Then you talk about on the TIC.
Good afternoon.
Jeff Stewart,
Public Financial Management. We're thrilled to be financial advisor to the county in this transaction. So we have looked at your entire portfolio of outstanding debt. Interest rates remain at or near historic lows. Great time to refinance for savings. This resolution sets forth kind of the high mark of $121 million of bonds that potentially could be in the money and suitable to refinance for savings. Big picture, we're going to, as your independent financial advisor, we're not paid on the size of the deal, so we have no skin in the game to kind of push for that biggest deal possible. The reality is 120 is at the high end of the spectrum. So a long way of answering the question, we see a refunding that could be as small as 40 million and as big as 120 million. Now commensurate with that is savings that could be as small, say small, around $4 million, and as big as $10 million. But that's a wide, you know, that's a lot of bonds to look at, but we're here today to set the table so that we can take maximum opportunity to save money when the market presents that opportunity for us in January to price the bonds.
Council Member Kilpatrick.
Last year we talked about refinancing also, and I understand, if I'm remembering correctly, that we did. Is this including refinancing that same money again because
yes.
Interest rates are lower than they were last year?
Yes, and because we never got to the bond market also, because we were just in that starting that discussion early period. And yes, it actually, our opportunities have grown since then.
Okay.
Just for the record, that was Mike Cooch speaking.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I think it would be great if we could reduce the debt to recover, you know, at least half of the new bonding money. That would be good, but at the very least, let's try to cover your cost. And I hope that's not near to 40 million.
No, any refunding analysis that we do is going to generate debt service savings on a present value basis, net of all costs incurred to execute the transaction.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Wasserbach.
Yeah, Wasserbach, County Auditor. Mike, you and I had a discussion yesterday about that SEC rule.
Yes,
MCDC. Okay. I keep on getting this condition confused. And apparently that rule, I guess I'm directing the question to PFM, apparently that rule gives a government about to issue new bonds the opportunity if they had a material omission from a prior year's official statement for a bond issuance. to actually disclose that material omission. So my question is, we don't have anything from prior years' bond issuances that your firm considers to be material as far as an omission?
So an excellent question. And our business is filled with acronyms. MCDC stands for Municipal Continuing Disclosure Cooperation Initiative. It is an enforcement initiative by the SEC, and it relates to the municipal bond market and public offerings of bonds sold to investors. In general, just for your background, this initiative was put forth by the SEC because, maybe not Newcastle, but your peers in the municipal bond industry have been rather sloppy with their disclosure. So that's all the information you put forth in your financial statements, all the information you put forth in your bond offering documents, the promises you make to keep current with that information and communication to the bond market going forward. This initiative, an enforcement initiative by the SEC, basically tasked every issuer of municipal bonds in the country to look themselves in the mirror and look at the past 5 years of bond issuance and say, did I do what I was supposed to do? I wrote it down here and promised, but did I actually execute and follow through? It's been a pleasure to work with Ed, with Mike, and the entire accounting staff here, as well as your bond counsel and internal counsel, Bernard. We did a thorough kind of forensic review of all your prior disclosure and your practices, and we're pleased to conclude that you did not have any infractions or violations that needed to be reported to the SEC under this initiative. So congratulations on that.
And just identify yourself for the record, please.
Sure. Jeff Stewart, Public Financial Management, Financial Advisor.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Smiley.
Would you repeat that? just the last part. Just the last part. I just want it clear on the record so that when I read the accusations in the paper tomorrow morning where it gets distorted, that you found nothing that needed to be reported to the SEC.
Correct. There was no self-reporting.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? I have a question and comment. Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. First of all, I'm very happy to hear that we're pursuing every avenue we can to lower the interest payments on the county's debt through refinancing. I think an aggressive exercise like that, given the low interest rate environment, in fact, that we are a AAA rated, county, we should pursue every way to refinance and get the lowest rates, reducing the interest payments on the debt. The second thing is, just for the record, the $85 million in new capital bonding. Can you just break down, just for the record, in categories, what that will fund?
My chief finance, $60 million we're looking at right now for sewer, and $25 million for general fund, which would be mostly the parks, Carousel, Glasgow, Rockwood. They're the larger portions of it.
Okay.
And like I said, 60-25 is what we're looking at right now.
Okay. All right, excellent. And what do you anticipate the bond market's going to be? What interest rates, just for discussion's sake, where are we looking at? 3% in the bond market currently?
So let me speak to what we anticipate on the new money side for the capital program.
Okay.
Jeff Stewart with Public Financial Management.
Right. Thank
you. Your general fund projects, comprising $25 million of assorted projects, will be amortized over 20 years. We set up the principal and interest amortization on that to be more or less mortgage-style debt service, so the same amount each year. So that will have a cost of capital commensurate with like a 20-year loan. Your sewer projects, the useful life on those assets tend to be a little bit longer, so we're amortizing those over 30 years, which is consistent with historical practice by the county. All in, we believe that the cost of capital for AAA-rated tax-exempt bonds right now will get you a cost of capital around 3.5%, certainly south of 4.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments from members of council on this bonding resolution, capital bonding resolution? Great. Sounds great, gentlemen. Questions, comments from the public? Thank you very much. Moving right along. Resolution 14-242, under my sponsorship, a resolution approving the issuance of certain bonds or notes by the Claymont Fire Company Incorporated. And essentially, I've read the resolution. This is conduit bonding. Members of council are familiar with the conduit bonding process, which does not incur any debt obligations upon Newcastle County, but upon the fire company with, that is issuing the fund, the bonding request. In this case, it's Claymont, which is in my district, and they are going to buy a new pumper truck and an ambulance pumper with this funding, pending approval of, you know, county council. And again, just for the record, this will have no fiscal impact on our county. We do not assume this debt. They are simply using, you know, our, you know, AAA rating to get the best interest rates possible to fund capital improvements and purchases, vehicle purchases for Claymont Fire Company. And this is a process that a lot of fire companies have pursued over the years. Any questions? And the amount of that is $650,000 in bonds will be issued by Claymont Fire Company. Any other questions, comments from members of council on resolution 14-242? All right. Anybody from the public? All right, moving along. Resolution 14-244. Councilman Smiley.
Yes. In short, in the last month or so, we've had two different occasions where council staff has been put in a position to send out emails to try to garner support for a grant award, which ended up in the numerous emails reminding everyone of FOIA. This doesn't personally affect me because I do my grants a little different, but in the spirit of trying to make it work and keep staff out of the middle, what this does is the mini grant account allowances that we set up, this removes the $150 limit of what a grant could be, and it raises the total amount in that account from $1,000 to $2,500. So any council member could give a grant up to $2,500 in total for the fiscal year out of their grant account without coming to council for approval. But the reporting process remains the same, where you need to come to council and let us know what was spent, what it was for.
Okay.
That's all it does.
Thank you. So this is a proposed rule change to allow the council member to have a grant of up to $2,500 under the signature of the council member with the reporting requirement allowed. Yes, Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, for instance, when we're down the month of August, or what we're going into right now, right, council member gets a grant request, you know, maybe it's $1,000. It's something they think is worthwhile, it's legitimate, and it's under a time constraint, because we all know, I mean, I see it because I review the grants, I'm here quite a bit, where 2 days before the grants are coming to council, people are sending them. This would allow that council member, should they so choose, to move forward and take care of that. But it does not increase the amount of grant funds available to an individual council member.
Councilman Tackett and Councilmember Kilpatrick.
So, just to be clear, the process that we used to handle a mini grant in is, in a sense, that cap of 150 is gone. We're now taking the whole grant process like this now and incorporating that in the same procedure.
So no, you that the mini grant for intent purposes, the mini grant process is still there, but it's a $2,500 max. For the entire fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. So what did you say?
No, I think
Council Member Kilpatrick.
You said 1 year.
Could you repeat that again? Because I don't think I'm understanding it, and no, I don't know where staff came into this.
Staff came into it because staff was the one, was the individuals that were putting an email out on behalf of a council member to try to garner support to provide a grant, which you cannot do. You can't solicit votes via email. So the
votes are contributions.
If it's something that's got to be approved by council, it yeah, in essence is a vote when you say, yeah, I support it, I'll participate.
Okay.
You can go back and read the Woodsy decision.
I got that. I guess
this has happened twice in the last month.
Okay, so let's say Joe has a grant and he thinks that you or I might be interested in it, he can't come to us and say, hey, I don't think that I can give up to the 2,500, but if you could you kick in 500? He wouldn't be allowed to do that anymore? Is this trying to do away with that?
No. Technically, he could go ahead and give the grant, or if he gets it, he can just let you know, I have a grant. I'm not going to get into how you can get the job done. If a council member can't figure out how to do that, fine. But you can always bite the bullet, commit to do the grant, and then when you come before council and notify them, well, I'd like to participate in that, I would like to participate in, and they can cross-support each other in grants. But can't do you can't legitimately and legally do that now. It's supposed to take place in this room. You're not supposed to be soliciting fellow contributions and votes now.
Even if it's even if it would be one-on-one, not where somebody would throw it out to the whole group. I mean, I understand not throwing it out to the whole group, because that would be a FOIA issue. Because we would then be ultimately voting on it prior to being in the public meeting.
I'm going to let council, because I'll let her answer. My concern for me personally is if I do an email to one, and then they mention to another, and they mention to another, next I know I'm in a FOIA violation. But council can answer that. My goal is just to try to increase the opportunities for council members to fulfill. I'm not setting the rules for it to be done. We already did that. So I would yield to council, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, and then I have other council members that have questions. Yes, council.
Carol Dolan, council to council. As Council Member Smiley stated, the problem in the FOIA context is if there is an email that goes out to a quorum of the body and the body exchanges opinions, and there was a decision on this council for having done so, and that was the Woods decision. I believe that Council Member Smiley, without someone saying that you can meet with less than a quorum or go to one other person, there is a quorum requirement in FOIA. So certainly anything done within the confines of that state law would be legitimate. But this money, from my understanding through Council Member Smiley, already has been budgeted, already has been appropriated, and that all the public notice procedures will continue to be adhered to. There already was an opportunity to give up to $1,000 a year, but these particular grants that prompted the issue were higher than that.
Okay. Councilman Hollins and Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The way I read it just simply removes the cap on the many grants. It just means that now you're right, you can make a many grant for $2,500 instead of $1,000. It's that simple to me.
All right, Councilman Wine.
And I concur with the remarks we made. The way I read it as well is that if you would like to not bite the whole bullet on the whole amount that's being granted, simply proceed as we've done. Put it on the agenda and then ask members of council around the table, would you like to participate, which is a much better practice than just emailing or requesting one or two council persons, because they might in a chain sequentially ask others, which then is a violation of FOIA, because like having a sequential meet, it's akin to having a sequential meeting, it violates FOIA. So the better practice is if you want help from other council members rather than just singling out one or two, ask everyone to participate. And then you avoid the possibility of violating FOIA.
Any other questions, comments? Does that help you?
Or you just put the money up and take your chances.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments on Resolution 14-244? Anything from the public? All right, moving along under ordinances. Substitute number one to Ordinance 14-128, Councilmember Kilpatrick. All right, dogs.
Dogs. Oh, we love cats up, but we have dogs. Okay, so I had a constituent that went to court with a friend of his that was cited for a dog issue in a bark park. And at the end, she was fined $250, and the judge handed over the law and said, I had no choice because of the way the law reads. So I asked Carol if she would look into this. She and the law department looked into this and cleaned up some antiquated language that was in there, going back and forth between state and county law. So this is in my opinion, just kind of a housekeeping, updating the code.
Any questions, comments, members of council? Councilman Smiley, I know you love this issue.
She's citing for having a dog in the bark park off a leash?
Basically, yes. With everything, there's more than one side to this, and I think that there were some personal issues that went along with this, but yes. That's where it started, in a bark park without a leash.
And the judge upheld it?
Yes.
I want to make sure I get that judge's name, because I want to get my freaking case moved if they've got one of mine.
Have Carol as a lifeline.
Because that was never the intent.
Council Carol Doolin.
I've been a subpoena.
Carol Doolin, council to council. Certainly, we don't know the particular circumstances of the individual constituent who contacted council member Kilpatrick. But the law as it currently stands states that regardless, a dog always has to be under control or unleashed. And if they bite someone, it's not considered to be under control or unleashed. And that is the exception to being loose in a bark park, even under the current law. With this housekeeping, and I'm not saying that that's what occurred, but if a dog bites someone in a bark park or anywhere, they're right. Not considered to be unleashed. However, what this does is cross-reference the different sections. It wasn't quite clear the part in Chapter 24, Article 24 on the parks in conjunction with what is a nuisance animal and what is a bark park. So this ties them all together and cross-references them so there can be no question among the constituents or the judiciary.
And we clarified the equestrian issue within the parks.
Okay.
It says you can't have horses. Now you can have it at the request of special services. That's fine.
Any other questions? Yes, Councilman Tackett.
Just making sure we're perfectly clear here, obviously, doesn't seem to have been an issue in the past, but now it is. But so would dogs in a bark park now be required to be on a leash?
No. Now it clarifies that they don't have to be on a leash, but if they would bite somebody in the bark park, then that takes away that exemption. That's an exemption. So then they would not be restrained under that definition. So biting is a whole different thing, but this makes it okay that they do not have to be on a leash under definition in a bark park.
Which there never was an intent.
But somehow this judge, as he handed them the law and said, I had no choice.
Because no one would read and explain the law to me.
I went to Carol and said, do we have an issue here? And she went to law, and that's when they went through the whole ordinance and cleaned it up.
And we're sure if a dog attacks or bites somebody in a bark park that we're now not removing the provision to give a recourse to the person that had been attacked or bitten.
That's my understanding. If it's a biting incident or an attack incident, then still are considered not under restraint and can be prosecuted or cited or whatever you do in those cases.
Can't use the leash as
do we know if a police officer was involved or was this a civil action?
It was a civil action. As far as I know,
if it's a civil action, then that would probably make more sense. If a police officer was involved, I would think we need more clarification, but okay.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from members of council on substitute number one, the ordinance 14-128?
Just let me clarify, since I don't own dogs, it doesn't matter to me.
You have no conflict.
I have no conflict in this one.
You're truly objective.
Nope, nothing with fur in my house.
All right, with that, moving on to other Newcastle County Council grant requests. Let's see. All right. We have first grant application from Delaware Military Academy, Councilman Retta.
Thank you. In the past, myself and Councilman Bell donated $2,500 to BMA for security
for security cameras, and we did that twice. And it helped out a lot for them because right after the last security camera went in, they had an incident over there, and it helped them out a lot. And that's one building, and they got another building that is here grants for. So they're requesting $2,500.
We'll put that in the form of a motion.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to donate,
absolutely.
But the
Councilman Retta did reach out to me, and I've agreed to contribute $1,000 towards the $2,500.
Can I have the form of a motion, please?
Motion.
Second.
Motion to have a grant request approved for the Delaware Military Academy. There's a motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the grant for the DMA is approved in the amount of $2,500, $1,500 from Councilman Renner, $1,000 from Councilman Bell. All right, Crestmore Swim Club Incorporated, Councilman Renner.
Yes, in the past I've donated to them, past couple of years. This Crestmore Swim Club is in the vicinity of Richardson Park area, and they have membership from all over the county there. So it's not just for one particular area, and they're requesting $2,500, and they want $2,000, I believe, but I want to go for $1,200.
Want to put that in the form of a motion?
It's a motion.
All right, I got a motion for $1,200 to fund the Crestmore Swim Club. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant for Crestmore Swim Club is approved. Hocasson Fire Company, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I have a request for a grant for $1,837.96, and this would supply the Hocasson Fire Company with two wireless tablets and software to pre-plan emergency responses. And I move that they be given the entire request.
Second.
And a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant for the Hocasson Fire Company is approved. I'll take the next one since Council President Bullock is not here due to family emergency illness. The grant request before you is for the MOE, or is sponsored by the First State Robotics. First State Robotics is the nonprofit that competes in STEM competitions, robotics competitions across the country. This group involves students from all across Newcastle County in a very challenging competition involving development of robotics systems that compete. And we've done extremely well with this program in terms of our local youth participating. We have 30 to 40 high school girls and boys from diverse backgrounds, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and family education that participate in this program. And STEM is sort of the cutting edge in education today, and it involves science, technology, robotics. So what we have here, and I'm going to need to throw a lifeline to the aid for Council President Bullock. I believe Council President Bullock wants to contribute how much to this?
$500.
Okay. I'm going to contribute $250. Yes.
And I will do $250. I have an interest in this. My brother and my nephew both teach robotics and also are competitive.
Okay. So we have $1,000 in the pot, and I'd like to make a motion to grant $1,000. When I contribute $250, we have additional money.
I would also like to contribute $250.
Okay, do we want to raise the amount of the grant to $1,250 from Councilman Hollins? I'd like to make a motion to approve a grant to First State Robotics for the MOE Robotics Competition Program in the amount of $1,250. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant is approved to First State Robotics MOE program. Thank you. Brandywine High School Senior After Prom Committee. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an organized group of 80 senior parents who each year provide a safe alcohol-free event for the students who attend the prom. They're interested in moving it from Brandywine High School to a facility called Stratosphere. It's a new concept for them, and they've done a lot to raise the basic amount of money. The $2,500 will help them reach their goal. So I'd like to make a motion for the $2,500.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right. The grant is approved for the Brandywine High School Senior After Prom Committee 2015. All right. Thank you for that. We're moving on to the next agenda. Discussion and vote to allocate funding for council chambers projector upgrades. Mr. Boyle, we're prepared to lead that discussion.
Jim Boyle, policy director for the council. As you all know, about a month ago, Joe, I came to you about we are working or trying to work with the city on a cooperative effort in order to upgrade certain equipment in the council chamber, this being the projector that we use for graphics such as the land use plans and various other things that need to be demonstrated. The equipment we have right now is, we put in a couple of years ago, it was very low quality, and we're spending more money trying to repair it than it would probably be cheaper just to buy a new one. The city moved forward, and the last time I was here, you asked that I asked if we move forward, you asked that I go get bids. The city did get bids. I have them here. The aide has the bids and she can distribute them if you need them. They got three bids. The lowest one was a company called Vero, which was for $13,970 for the new projector. It includes a projector, a new platform for it, and some changes in the infrastructure that needs to be changed to make things a little bit more safer. Our portion of that would be $6,985. Okay. And again, we use it more than the city does. We use it for our land use plans and other graphics. What I'm asking for is a vote to move forward on this and transfer $6,985 to the contingency fund into our equipment line. I've already talked to purchasing, and what we would do is the city would be, the city council would be the lead on this, and we would just cut a check to the city council once the top project was complete.
I thank you. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, I, as part of the last meeting, had requested to look at the bids, make sure the RFPs were out. We did get them. I asked for a meeting, and I met with Mr. Rego. We sat down, went over, because I had questions. Some of those submissions back I thought were lacking. Ironically, the one that I thought was the best submitted was the lowest, but then you never know. But I was assured they've actually done business with this outfit before. While I know we don't have a lot of land use plans coming now, but what is coming, you know, we made the changes in the chamber so that the public could clearly see and council could see. My understanding is this will enhance the visibility of the plans from the gallery as well as for council members. And this company has a good track record of maintenance, upkeep, and responding when there are issues. So with that, I would like to make a motion to council approve the expenditure of $6,985 from our contingency fund for the upgrade of the council chamber projector system.
Second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, we have the approval, and we'll upgrade our projector system and get better visuals on our council floor when we look at our various plans, and yes, Councilman Smiley.
And for the record, Mr. Riggle is also working on upgrading the plaque in the lobby.
Yeah, here.
We got a little bit more of the mystery solved today, so we'll...
Do we have to spend any money on that?
No, I'm going to see if we can get this done. I think it was an error to begin with, and you shouldn't have to spend any money.
Okay.
Oh, I may have to replace the piece of paper down there if it gets worn until we get it done. At least we're on the right track now, aren't we?
We are.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can move ahead with that. Moving along, under other, council staff 2014 holiday vacation schedule, December 24th and December 26th.
Right here.
Yes, Councilman Smiley.
Okay. What happened, I was in the office yesterday when the executive put out the email where it came out of his office. He had already granted the day after Christmas. They already have Christmas Day under union contract. They have half, or he'd already granted the half day for Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day was there. The federal government moved and granted the day after, which was followed by our governor, county executive, basically followed suit. So when it came through yesterday, you know, I shot out the calls because I wasn't sure what we had to do in order to enact or not enact what the power of the president was, because this isn't an emergency situation. It's not bad weather. It's not a fire alarm or anything like that. So the feedback was, and when I left here, because I delivered early yesterday to Tara, and was we would have to do a revised agenda if council had to vote. So council has to vote on it. So that's why we're here. It's not like we're going to have another meeting in time. So my proposal is that the council staff follow the proposed county agenda for county employees.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second, and just for the record, this proposes the granting of a vacation day for December 24th and December 26th, correct?
December
26th. Yeah, full days.
It's not vacation.
It's holiday.
Day off.
Don't get into the scenarios of what payroll wants done.
We'll have a day off.
Be full day December 24th. They're already off December 25th. Full day December 26th. And I'll work the 27th, 28th pro bono.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. We have made that so December 24th and December 26th council will be closed, as well as county employees as well, accepting our police. Yes.
Clarification, I didn't include council members in that.
Well, of course. We're never
close.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Powers has joined us at the table. Moving along to expense and revenue roundtable. Does anybody have anything for expense and revenue roundtable? Yes, Council Member Diller.
Just a reminder that Mr. Boyle has sent out his proposed increases for the budget. Right. So that everybody can take a look at that. The other thing I'd like to say is that in those increases, I'd like to propose a modest increase of council grants by $1,000. And I would also like to make sure that we have the equipment for the hot spots, both in here and downstairs, which would be, I think, a monthly fee for the MiFi.
Okay. We have a request for it. So your idea is to increase the council grant budget for each council member by $1,000?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to put that, you want that considered? Are you going to wait for budget? Or?
Well, I think we better get it in. I mean, Jim has done the first draft, and so I think we need to get this on certainly the next finance agenda before...
Councilman Smiley.
That's what I was going to say. You're not talking about doing this now. This is a submission for the FY16 2016 budget.
Exactly.
Councilman Bell.
Yes. The only thing I'd suggest, and I think it'll have to weigh in on our financing, but, you know, when we reduced from $15,000, we went in half, $7,500. We then Not too long ago, I guess it was last year, we increased it back by 2,500. My only suggestion would be that in order to work towards getting back to the original concept of 15,000 per district, would be possibly to look at if we could afford to do another $2,500 increment.
Okay.
Which would make it a 12.5.
And just for the record, we also made it possible for council members to use their office budget as part of the grant process. Yes, Councilman Smiley.
I would just ask all of council, think about, you have the first budget submission, take a look at it, think about what you might like. Please discuss it with Mr. Boyle. Please do not send an email, hey, what's everybody think? You know, I'm about ready to come up with some other words for the FOIA bit, but so let's try, and then we will put on the next council finance agenda discussion of council's budget. And let's get it out, let's get it done. I don't want us to be at the last minute, because I have a piece of legislation that my aide has been working on that I will be bringing forward to adopt prior to the budget being presented as well. So, yeah, we will have that on. Scott, you got the first meeting in January, so you get to make sure it's on the agenda.
Okay. Just something else to Councilwoman Diller. We do have a hot spot for downstairs. Okay, just to say, last week, probably for about 5-6 days, we did not have Wi-Fi here. And that was something that happened in IS that I believe was the exception rather than the rule.
Okay.
Something happened down there. They worked hard to repair it. They finally did repair it. It's working today. I have no problem getting another hotspot as a backup, but right now our Wi-Fi is working pretty good. We were not the only ones down. The whole building was down and most of the governor's center was down. I did communicate with the administration. Reason being is not only was our Wi-Fi, but it was the row offices also that usually most of the title searchers and so on and so forth use that Wi-Fi in order to communicate with their offices. So everybody was a little behind, but that has been repaired. We can get another backup, but just want to make it clear that it has been repaired.
All right, thank you. Anything else under expense and revenue roundtable? Okay, moving on to other. Anything under other? Mr. Coop, yes.
Mike Coop, finance. I don't know whether others correct or public comments would be the correct time, but I think we're coming to the end of your meeting anyway. I just wanted to point out that December 19th, 1977. Ed Milowicki and I started here in Castle County, and December 19th, 2014, Ed's going to officially retire, as well as Mike Mackowitz in charge of our accounting section. So the December 19th, I would say 2014, Mike and Ed, who started on 1977, it's a different Mike, but there will be a Mike and Ed going out to retire. I've had the good fortune of working with these guys for, as well as Councilman Bell, for over 36, 37 years. And we've been a great team in finance, and it's a great loss. It's tough. It's one of those reality things in life that comes along that lets me know that I'm getting older too, because we're all coming to the end of our careers. And but I don't want to say a lot, but I just want to say they've served the county well. I can say that as a taxpayer and a fellow employee. But they've been great stewards for the county constituents. They've helped. We were all part of a team that brought the CAFR here, the CABS, and all part of the team that brought the trip away to Castle County. So it's a great era, and it is starting to wind down, and probably when I go, I'll be the one that will close the door on our era. But it's been a pleasure, and I know you guys all had the opportunity to work with Ed and Mike Mackowitz, who this here was his last CAFR that was presented here to you today. So I just want to let you in case anyone didn't know, but I'm pretty sure everyone does know. That we are winding down.
Councilman Smiley and I'd like to make a comment, too.
Yeah, and it will be a loss in Newcastle County, but I just want to say, and this is meant as no disrespect to anyone that remains or is left in the past, but you know, I always hear when people are leaving the county and other arenas of public service, I hear the loss of institutional knowledge. Well, you know, that's true. But knowledge can be gained. Knowledge can be earned. What can't be gained, what can't be earned, you either have it or you don't. And that's the loss of credibility, integrity, and honesty. And these two gentlemen have definitely been that rock for me as a member of the Finance Committee. Not once, and there are very few people in my life I can say this about, not once in my tenure has there ever even been a gray area in any of the information that was provided for me out of that department, Mr. McElwiss, Mr. Milowicki. It was what it was, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And looking forward, I surely expect the same. But you two gentlemen can definitely hold your heads up with the way you've worked for New Castle County, and I appreciate it. And I'm going to Public Safety Committee next month.
I'd just like to offer my echo the sentiments of Councilman Smiley. You know, these professionals in our finance department have done a great job in advancing the cause of financial transparency and integrity in this county tremendously, and certainly we will feel their loss the experience and the type of integrity they brought to the job. So I just would like to extend my personal admiration, and I wish you the best in your new life, because I think retirement's an oversold concept. Bob Wasserbach raising his hand.
Hey, I'm retired.
I just wanted to add to the sentiments of everybody else. When I got into government, I spent most of my career in the private sector. I didn't really know much about government, and Mike and Ed were two of the people in the finance department who really helped me with understanding governmental accounting and governmental finance. And it's a big loss, but I wish them the best, and I like to add on to what Councilman Smiley said. These are just two really good human beings. Thank you.
Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't know whether we have to wait till this evening to be added as co-sponsors, but it would seem to me that just every member of council would want to be part of this.
I think that's a great idea.
It's cheaper than a gift.
All right. We're under other, moving along. Anything else under other? Moving along to public comment. Anything from the public? All right. Can I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The Finance Committee meeting of December 9th is now adjourned.
I'm glad to know.